This is the Lattice Training Podcast, where we bring you the best in climbing performance and training from the world's elite athletes, thought leaders, and coaches.
So, Will, we have you back again on the Lattice Podcast. It's been a while, but in the intervening time, we've had a fairly major trip that's occurred to you recently, which was to go out and try Excalibur out in Italy.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on. And yes, basically allowed like 2 months almost to go out. I split it into two trips, one where I cut it short because the weather was so bad. But yeah, it was just going out to absolutely siege Stefano's route, Excalibur, which is 90 plus and absolutely desperate.
Yeah. So just to kind of give some headline numbers and sort of facts for how your history with Excalibur worked and the kind of journey that you've taken with it so far. This was the third trip, am I right in saying? And some of those trips were shorter, some of them were longer. Can you kind of give everyone watching and listening a bit of background in where your journey until this last trip went with Excalibur?
Yeah, so I think I've been quite unlucky with my trips so far. So I had, I guess, 2 Decembers ago now, I had my first trip where I was in Switzerland for 12 days and then went for 10 days, sorry, to Arco at the end of it before driving home to go and check it out. And on like the day I arrived or the second day, there was like torrential rain and the route just didn't dry till the end of the trip. I managed 5 sessions and it was like starting as the route was drying like progressively up. So it was like first session trying the very bottom moves and then like the first half and then an extra move and another move. So I had like 5 sessions and on the 5th session, I was able to try every move, but the final move, the hold you go to, was still wet. And then, yeah, I waited and came back in October last year as my second trip. And
so that was 2023.
Yeah. So the first trip was 2022. And then last year, 2023, came back for my second trip. And the plan was to stay for a month in October. I got there and the forecast had been so good up until I got there and it just changed. And yeah, again, we had like 1 storm. And then the route takes 5 days to fully dry, 3 days to dry to the point you can try up to the last move. And every 3rd day it rained, basically. So it just meant it was impossible to try, like it never dried. So I managed 3 really bad sessions that trip where it was like 2 just on the first part. And then 1 where I was able to try most of the route, but it was actually raining that day. It just hadn't quite seeped all the way through yet. So it was like 100% humidity and it just felt desperate. And it was weirdly warm. So I bailed. I left after, I think, 10 or 12 days.
Yeah.
And went back to the Czech and tried Terra Nova.
And was that an easy decision to leave it on that particular trip? Because you'd already kind of gone into it going, I'm ready to, you know, go to town with this.
It definitely wasn't an easy decision because I had like, you know, had the replica here, I'd been training really hard for it, it'd been the main goal of the year, and then being there, not being able to try it, was really frustrating. But looking at the forecast, and after waiting that sort of like extra week where I was like, oh, maybe it'll get better, and it just didn't. So in the end, it was a fairly easy decision. But what was the hard decision was whether I went to the Czech or whether I went home, because it's a 13 and a half hour drive back to Cali, and then obviously 5 up from there. And it was a 10-hour drive to the Czech Republic. But from the Czech Republic, it's also a 13.5-hour drive back to Cali. So I was like, I'm adding 10 hours of driving and not getting any closer to home. So yeah, that was a little bit where I was like, oh, do I do it? But it was worth doing that. And then, yeah, so then I had the 3rd trip where I went out and stayed for a month. And that was 2023 December.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And in terms of what you put into those first couple of trips, what did the preparation and the level of specific training that you did for Excalibur look like up until that point? And then I want to move on to then what you did building up to this latest trip that you've just come back from. Just to give people an idea of whether there's actually a sort of evolution of the preparation and training that you do on something where you come back trip 1, trip 2, trip 3, or does it always look like this is what I did and I copy the same thing every time?
You know, it's definitely different. So I mean, before the 1st trip, because I wasn't really sure firstly, if I was going to be psyched on it, if I was going to want to siege it, or how long it would take if it felt possible. I didn't really train specifically for it at all. I was just doing very general trainings, you know, board sessions and like long campus blocks to try and have some power endurance.
Mm. And what kind of shape would you say you were in? Were you in mid power endurance shape, just bouldering peak shape? Like, what did you go?
I think pretty boulder, like long bouldering peak shape. So like the bottom end of power endurance, where I had just come back that from the like long Swiss trip where it's in Elfing, the 9A, which was in October, and I came back sort of beginning of November, and then trained through from November to mid-December where I went out, beginning of December when I went out to Switzerland for that 12 days, and that was when I flashed the Dagger, which is a pretty power endurancy boulder, and almost flashed Dreamtimed. I did that like, I think after the, I had a foot slip, so it was like third or fourth go. And they felt not that bad, and they're quite long boulders. So I'd say I was like very strong in the long boulders.
Yeah.
So I was in pretty good shape. And
so it felt like the logical thing
to be going
and trying, because you knew that the project was going to be hard. It's Stefano's thing. He put in this considerable amount of time into an effort, and the two matched up. Because it's not, actually, this is a really good piece of information just to kind of make sure everyone is aware of how long is this thing? What are we talking about here? Because it's not always clear from video clips on social media, because you just get crux sections and you only see that. But what does the whole route involve? Just to give some context.
No, that's a good point. I actually had a comment, because I posted the first half of the route, like of me going through it, one of my red points on Instagram, and I had a comment saying, wow, I've never actually seen the first half of the route before.
Yeah.
It's basically, I don't know, maybe the full line is 10 meters. I guess the hard climbing, maybe 8 meters. So it's not long at all.
British style.
Yeah, it's two boulders split with a really bad rest. The first boulder is probably 8B, and the second boulder is probably 8B, 8B plus, maybe in between. And the rest, you get two holds, but when you first touch them, because in comparison to everything else in the wall, you're like, oh yeah, these are good. But they're not jugs. They are like, they are basically just bigger edges. And it's just not as good a rest as you really need, but you do have to use it. I spent some time like working if you could just go straight through, but unfortunately it is actually two separate boulders and not like one long continuous one.
And when you say two moderate holes, what are we talking? One pad, a pad and a half, two pads, in cut?
Probably two pads. They're okay. Like, they're in cut. They're not bad. It's just you're on a 40-degree board, essentially. Like, the rock's incredible. I don't think I've really seen many lines that long that are that consistently steep all the way through, and you don't have like good feet that you can really weight into, so you're kind of just hanging on them. So they're a lot better than every other hold, which are absolutely tiny, but yeah, they're not great.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that, I think that helps, because again, it's not always easy to see in footage how good something is until you go and speak to someone and they go, I know it looks bad on film, but actually that thing is much more in cut, and there's a really good level of frictional. There's a bit of bite on the edge, and you can kind of hang the skin on it and drape the hand over it. But to you, it felt like a very mediocre and active rest.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that being said, though, like the majority of the holds in Excalibur are some of the sharpest holds I've ever touched.
Right.
It's unbelievable. Like, you can have maximum three goes a session, and then you've lost multiple layers of skin, and they will just feel so much worse.
Yeah.
And what put it in perspective to me a bit is, Aiden's been trying this project in Switzerland, which is on some of the smallest crimps you'll ever see. So like, to me, it's like, yeah, that's got to be one of the sharpest, most painful boulders ever. And like, he's been trying like Sean Rabatut, and they came over for a day and they were on Excalibur, and Sean was like, no, like, this is worse. The holes are worse for your skin on this. And they're like probably four times as big.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's just, yeah, savagely sharp.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And in terms of also those first two trips, how much replica work did, because I think most people are very aware of the replica training you've done for other projects, and also this one, you know, we produced some YouTube content for it specifically, so people could kind of grasp what you were doing. But how much did you do for those two trips on that replica work? How comprehensive was it?
Yeah, so for the first trip, I didn't do any replica work at all. And then basically the majority of last year, so 2023, I was mostly aiming for this and training for this. There was obviously the period at the start where I changed and went for burden, but after that it was again back to this. So I was trying to, I had the replica here that was coming in for just hard replica sessions. Whenever I was at like a wall or on a board, like on the old Moonboard set, the 2016 one, I think, I've got like a replica that's vaguely similar to, and then I think one at like the, on the hanger board, I just...
I've got to ask you a question straight away on this Moonboard thing though. Is it uploaded onto the app?
No.
Oh, well, you've got to do it. People will want, as soon, like I heard it, it's like, I want to know, why have you not uploaded it? Because then people can go and get it.
Because it's super limited and and it's not that same in the level, like it's a lot easier.
Okay.
It's a replica of the top half, but it's a lot easier than the one here. So what I was doing, this was for when I was training at school, I would do like a hard 9-move campus with vaguely similar hand movements to the bottom half of Excalibur. And then I'd jump on two okay holds. I'd rest for, I'd try and like hang on for 2 minutes rest. And then I'd jump on this boulder.
Mm.
So it was like the end of a sort of circuit almost of trying to like recreate the route, but in like three broken up stages. Mm. So yeah, it was like a mix between training on that and coming here. And I think that put me in a really good shape. And then going out on that second trip and not really being able to try it was really frustrating. But then between that trip and my final one, I only had 2 weeks, so I didn't do any sort of training like that. I just had a couple hard board sessions to sort of keep recruited, and then going out again, like I guess I hadn't trained between the two, the second and the third trip, but all the training I'd done made such a difference.
Mm.
Like on the second trip, on that last, the one day where I was able to try more of the route, what was kind of, it's kind of labeled the crux move, but I don't think is, like which you get this horrendous two finger pocket of the left hand and a super high heel. And it just felt so, so good. Like I was able to actually just take my hand off on the move and like just sort of hang there. And I was like, wow, yeah, the replica training here made such a difference.
Yeah. Is it times like that when you've learned to have this appreciation now, having used replica training a number of times, that you almost have to give a little bit more credit to the effectiveness of replica training because it's so move position dependent? So in some ways you haven't got massively stronger via doing the training on the replica, but you've become very refined at the perfect body position and the perfect speed or sort of execution in which you move through moves. So then when you get on the project, you go, okay, that's significantly more straightforward now.
Yeah, it makes, like, in that specific sense, it makes a huge difference.
Mm.
And I just, I don't know, there's a couple of things with it. The one thing is Sean found this new beta for the cube move, it's called, because you go to this hold that's like shaped vaguely like a cube. It's not even a cube, but I don't know, it gets called that. And that move is so much easier now, and I'm like, oh, if I'm going to train again, I need to change the replica because it's like, it's so completely different. No, and that's the one thing where it's like, if you do train on something for a while and you feel really strong, but then you go out and you're like, oh, hang on, there's this other bit of beta that I hadn't considered, and kind of feels like training was semi-wasted now.
Yeah, so it's a cube move on the replica
outside,
harder than the one on the board. Oh, sorry, on the project.
Yeah, so on Excalibur, the real one was harder than the one on the replica, but the new way of doing it is way, way easier. Like, it's not really a move you fall on anymore. But the cube on the replica is actually a circle.
Yes, the little circle holds. We typically use as footholds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always think this is the funny thing when people come and see the Excalibur replica here and look at it and go, you put a load of footholds on the wall as handholds. Yeah, that's how hard climbing, you know, the cutting edge is. Yeah, just, is that kind of way around.
But at least on Excalibur, they're painfully sharp so that you hang on.
Yeah. Okay, one last question about replica, and then I'm going to chat about like how this actual latest trip panned out, because there was all sorts of things happening on, you know, weather and conditions and stuff. Is on the replica training that you did on this one, and it's a sort of slightly two-part question. I know when we talked about the replica training you did with Burden versus going to Burden itself, we talked about how maybe the replica was harder, with the fact that you got glassier holds, she's not the same kind of friction, so it could actually be almost harder to send the replica than it is to do the real thing outside. What was that like specifically in this case with your replica here versus the Escalade one?
I think some of the moves on this one were easier, some were way harder. I think overall, with the like beta, the sequence that we've got now, because we like found better beta for a couple moves, like the Q move, and for the last two moves, I found better beta as well. I think the real one is easier again than this. I think this one is harder.
Okay.
But I guess it also depends which version of this one you do, because I've got like the two crimps in the middle. So one of them, if you use it, like the moves aren't so much harder, but then the heel is just ridiculous for that top move.
Yeah, it is.
Which I think has been good training, but on the real one, the heel move now just doesn't feel that bad. I don't know if that's because I've been trying it on this, or if because it was always not actually as hard as I was remembering it.
Yeah. I mean, it's pros and cons, isn't it?
Yeah.
I personally have always liked training on replicas that were slightly harder than the thing that you go out, because mentally, the environment under which you're training back at home with a replica is quite low stress. So it's kind of a good place to really push the physical part, because you know objectively when you get to the real project, the mental stress goes up, because it's like, this is game on now. Yeah, yeah. Now the pressure's on. So it's nicer when it feels a touch under what you've prepped for.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. If you can prepare for it to be harder than it actually is, then it gives you like as much chance of sending it when you're actually there. But when it is a sort of limit project, it's definitely hard when you're going in for your training sessions. You're like, man, I can't do these moves, and I need to be linking these when I go there.
Yeah.
It can be like kind of like adding pressure if it's a trip's coming up in like short time.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, latest project trip that you went out on. Third trip.
Yeah.
And it was right in the middle of the winter. I mean, couldn't have gone too much colder. How did that trip pan out? And I know loads of people will have actually just watched your updates. Yeah. That you're really good on social media. All of us loved it, by the way, of these constant updates. But yeah, for anyone who hasn't seen that, can you give a bit of a timeline and a summary of how that latest trip went, and then we can kind of dive into some of the details.
Yeah, so again, it wasn't the best weather wise but it was a lot better and it went really well. It was really cold, which added like a new challenge where you needed to be cold because of the holds being sort of small and sharp. Without perfect conditions, your skin just disappears. But it was like learning how to warm up for it was difficult. It felt very similar to mutation, where it didn't really matter what you did until your first pull on. You just could never get fully prepared, and you're always going to have one pull on where as soon as you come off, you're just in so much pain from just how small and painful they are. But the trip went really well. Started off basically, I was like, went out with the idea of working to like a 5-day plan. We have 4 days of refinement, learning again, getting it dialed. And then from like fifth day on, it's like going for red points, which was I was going to stick to. But then I had a really good first session, and I'd be like, I learned the new Q beta. I even learned some better beta on the top. And I was like, oh, okay, like this feels good. And then coming to the second session, the day after was forecasted torrential rain again. So I was like, right, well, I guess we're going for sends straight away. So like went for red points on that session, which actually went really well. I got a new high point. My high point previously was falling on the cube move, which is the second move after the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And this time I stuck that, and then I stuck three more moves. And then you have to put the final clip in, which is a move in itself because you're on a really, really bad pinch. And I just couldn't get the clip in. And the route's weirdly scary because it is quite short, but like at this point you're high enough you'd never hit the ground, but there's a boulder next to it which kind of comes up the side and you're always a bit worried by it. So I think I ended up grabbing the quick draw.
Yeah.
But I was really happy with that. I thought it was positive. And like after 5 days or so, it dried off, and I had, or at least the bottom had dried, so I had then my two more working sessions taking me up to day four. I was feeling really good, really refined. And then I got on from sort of there. It's like, I can't remember how many sessions I actually had, to be fair. But yeah, basically each session from there was going for red points, giving red points, feeling really good. Like the bottom was getting better and better every time. And it feels like I would do it almost every go now, I think.
Mm.
But I don't know, you come out the rest feeling really good, feeling like not tired. You do like two moves and you get to where that clip is, and it's just all going wrong. I don't know. The left hand's like, unfortunately, for it to be there, I suppose, is like got a lot of like cica glue on it. So if it's humid at all, you just like fire off it. The friction's really bad. And then that left pin, the right hand pinch, for me is like an absolute crux. It feels absolutely terrible and I have to hold it in a very specific and weird way. And then I don't know, watching a lot of other people on it, like, but it just looks like almost like a non-move. They just like that pinch, they hold it completely differently in this sort of open grip. And it doesn't
would you say compared to others, your sort of peers within climbing, you see them as having better pinch grip than you on the whole versus basic crimp, half crimp?
Yeah, probably. But I don't even know how to explain this.
Or
whole,
it just could be just
it's just so weird. So yeah, most of my goes, I was either getting the left hand and then just firing off it, or getting the right hand, getting the clip in, matching in. By this point, like, just feeling so bad that when you like bring your feet up and go for the next move, I was just having nothing left. Which is weird because I wasn't falling off pumped. Mm-hmm. Like, I had goes where I'd like fall there and then instantly take the quick draw out, drop down to the halfway point, shake for like, I don't know, like 20 seconds or so, pull back on and then just go to the top. And I was like, oh, I don't quite understand what it is. And it's taken me a long time. And then every session I was progressively like finding little bits of micro beta. And I think that's what I'd been missing.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the last session, which I'd rested 5 days from my last session, because I was trying to get my skin to grow back as good as possible. And I managed 2 goes before I'd like cut through and I just couldn't do it. Like on my first go, I actually started bleeding, but it was in a point I could tape. But it was like super frustrating last day. But I did learn that there's a better way of holding this intermediate. So I can now get the left hand, I'm pretty sure, perfectly every time. So I'm not going to slip on that anymore. And I think I worked out exactly how to hold the right hand. So I'm pretty confident that if I go back, it will all be there. I just like, I needed that one more session. But it's one of those things where I'm like 99% confident I've got that dialed, but I might just get it from the ground and it might not work again.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like this really weird crux for me because there's only 3 moves after that. They move to the pocket, you get the heel on, there's like sharp crimp, and then you go to the good hold. And I feel really good on those moves. Like I for sure could fall on them, especially if I'm really tired, but I don't feel like I will. So yeah, it was really frustrating because I felt like if I could have one go where I got to that pocket, it could be enough. But yeah, just those holes just shut me down.
Mm.
Yeah.
And having finished that trip and not being, you know, what you would class as sort of the stereotypical successful trip project thing of walking away with the send, how does it feel actually to come and sit down with me and talk about something where you haven't walked away with that classical send? Because I bet the number of interview requests that you've had post Excalibur has been quite a bit lower this time versus the one that you had after you did Burden of Dreams, which when I was actually like thinking about preparing for this interview with you, I went, this is weird. We all know exactly the same amounts of kind of work go in. The process into it looks exactly the same from prep to training to projecting. And it's just like the last little bit that suddenly defines, oh, you get to have loads of interviews and you do loads of talking about it and you pull out all the cool stuff that everyone's inspired by. But it's rare that you get interviews where you talk about, oh, that was tough to walk away from it for the moment. How does that feel for you as a...
Yeah, it's a good point. It's an interesting one because I guess the main thing, especially trying hard projects, is the majority of the time you don't send them. So it's kind of like, this is the more, I guess, like the 99% of the time, but I don't talk about it, I guess, that much. It's interesting. Yeah. It feels weird coming here because I'm like, will people, it does, in my head, I'm like, will people be interested? Like, I didn't do the climb. They're going to be like, you know, what's he got to say? Like, why do we listen to him? I don't know.
Which is weird because it's exactly the same content.
It's a good point.
Apart from the one where you're like, oh, and I tied on Tuesday and everything went right and I hit the hold at the end and I did it.
Yeah.
That's kind of the only difference.
No, it's a good point. It feels really, it does feel different, which is weird. It kind of shouldn't, because as you say, we're just talking about exactly the same things, the same questions, and
yeah,
that's an interesting one.
Yeah, I think it is a bit that like often like I try and remind people of, and I suppose it comes on to my next question around the kind of like the mental side of it, is that for a lot of us as climbers, when we're projecting on things, is putting all of your sort of mental basket, bucket, capacity, whatever, into the kind of the process bit of it and not attaching loads of it to the outcome. Because ultimately, whether we're successful and walk away at the end of the trip, or whether we don't walk away from the trip, still like 99% of the whole experience is in the process. It's not in the bit where you do or you don't. So I don't think it's the most productive thing to put loads of energy into the do or the don't right at the end. So I suppose my question is how do you personally manage this?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think especially about this, like, I guess this year, the two trips, but really the last trip as well, is I think it was a really successful trip. I didn't get the send, but I do think it was a really successful trip. And I think in general, that's kind of the way that I mostly look at my climbs and things I try. Like the last trips, because I had two trips to the Czech Republic this last year as well, trying Terra Nova. Obviously didn't send it, but they're all, like, both trips were really successful, I think. Like, so that's kind of always just the way that I've looked at it mentally. So I think I don't find, like, obviously I want to send, and it is always frustrating when you don't. But I think as long as you're looking at, like, the small steps all the way along, like, for me, it doesn't feel that different or too bad. Like, it's really frustrating. I think Excalibur, leaving it was frustrating because you can go for these long trips and you get so few days climbing it because of the weather or your skin. And you're like, oh, do I want to, like, spend all this, like, time and money and come back and then potentially get another only 2 or 3 days? So that's hard. But when you actually look at all the positives, I'm like, well, every session there was progress. I learned so much. I got new high points. I'm like, it's all coming together. So as long as you kind of look from that side, it's, I don't know, it works.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's really interesting, this. And I think actually, just listening to you there, you're maybe one of the people that I've talked to about this kind of deferred success or micro failure or thing where you don't succeed with the project, talk the most positive about actually that was a success. So I suppose the specific question for people watching and listening is, what was it that defined that you still sit here opposite me today and go, Terra Nova trip was successful for me actually, and the Escalera trip was successful, didn't end up with the tick, the send, but you still called it successful. So what is it, so people that can kind of grasp, what are you honing in that says in your head, this is successful?
Yeah, so I suppose this is the sort of thing where you could go down really micro routes, but essentially there was progress on the project. So firstly, went out, had an amazing trip in a like beautiful country, like climbing on some absolutely amazing rock, which is never going to be bad. And then basically, because I was always trying projects at the moment, so with both Terra Nova and Excalibur, it's like almost every session I'd say there was like big progress, or I guess in the later sessions little progress. So like the last session on Excalibur was super frustrating, resting 5 days and then skin falling apart, not even getting a high point. But I worked out like 2 bits of microbeta that I think will make a huge difference. So straight away that session's been a success. Because I'm like, okay, that's just progress for next time.
Yeah.
And I felt good on the bottom. So I think as long as, like for me, as long as there's progress on the route, or even like just microbeta, or I don't know, even if it's just like you're just having a really good time, I think it makes it a successful trip. And for sure, in the terms of the projecting, as long as there's just like any sort of little thing where you're like, that's going to help for next session, then it's been a good day. And therefore, like, if you have at least one good day, I'd say, then you've probably had a pretty successful trip.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if you're trying like a one move boulder and you go there and you have like 10 sessions and it doesn't feel any different, then it'd be a lot more frustrating.
Yeah.
But even if you could work out just a little bit, like, oh, if I swing my hips slightly more this way, I feel marginally closer, then that would be progress.
Yeah. No, it's cool and interesting to hear you say that, because that really embodies two concepts which I think are really important and I think works across bouldering, sport climbing, trad, people who are 2 years into their climbing, people who are like 25 years into their climbing, is that one is that you're very focused on the steps of the process. So you're like, I know that this moves me one step further towards the things. And you know this in your head, and you're like very clearly valuing that particular part of the puzzle. And the second thing is that you're very focused on learning.
Yeah.
And you're like, I learned something new. I discovered something new.
Yeah.
And this just plays out every time into projecting. And I think it probably does also in other sports and other things in life. You get those two things, they're really fulfilling, and you end up having an interview with me afterwards and going, yeah, that was still really cool. I love that trip, and I love all this stuff. Yeah. And it's not, oh, this sucks, I have to talk about this. I'm not really into this thing anymore, because you've got good, healthy attitudes around doing it. And that's why you still want to go back and have another trip on it, and you still committed to the process, because those things are really rewarding.
Yeah, I mean, I think the hard bit's finding people that are interested to listen to me go like, oh, and then if you hold this intermediate slightly more like roundy, then it just gets way better.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll just get so psyched, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's when you're fully in the weeds, isn't it?
Yeah, so yeah. Good.
One thing that you did face a real issue with on the trip was weather and conditions and affecting things. Like, I think this for you was quite a big factor in terms of the success and how this played into your trip strategy. How did that all go for you?
Yeah, it's definitely been a lot harder, I think, than most projects I've tried for that. And it's one of those things that a lot of the time, especially when it's like bad conditions, you can go have still like a good training session on the route and still like put in like good training sessions where you feel like you're making progress or learning. But unless it just doesn't work without perfect conditions, you can't really try the route, because it'll just completely destroy your skin. And also, you can't even, like, the moves get so much harder as soon as it starts. Like, when I went on that trip in October and I had the 3 days, although it was really humid as well, but it was just too warm. It was around like 18, 20 degrees. And I just could barely hold the hold. So then going back, you know, only a month later, without really doing much more training, and it's like the difference was unbelievable. So that was like really frustrating. And the route, yeah, it takes 3 days to dry to the point you can try it, or try most of it, and 5 days to fully dry the last hold. So you could try the whole route on day three or four, if as long as the weather's been like good and windy. But you could, the worry is then you could come from the ground and you get to the last move and you do the last move and then you just fall because the hold's wet.
Right.
And it's like a slot break in this crack, so there's no worry about breaking it or anything like that, but it's not as good as you want it to be. So without it being dry, I think it would be a real possibility of falling off there from the ground. So yeah, if you have like one bad rain day, it's like 5 days to dry. And unfortunately, I don't know if it's coming from Scotland or what, but it just seems to be so much rain when I'm there. Everyone's like, oh no, like weather's been great. Like, I've been looking at the forecast, been like sun for 2 weeks. I'm like, right, I'm going. And then like I get there and then the forecast for the week just changes. It's like, oh yeah, it's gonna rain 40 mils in first. I'm like, oh. it keeps happening. So I don't know. I think now that I need to just see when there's a really good, like the weather's been good for a while. Really good window still looking like, just go out and try and have like one or two sessions, and I think that should hopefully be enough.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm hopefully over that condition sort of period where now I think it's like ready to send, so I just need to have good days.
Yeah, just have everything line up, the different parts that just need to be in your favour somewhat.
Yeah.
And then it comes together. Because I guess that's the thing, is if things are really, really hard and at your limit, you do need quite a few things to line up. And as soon as one or two major things aren't playing your way, you just don't have enough margin, do you, to be able to do the things?
No, that's the problem. And I think I've got quite lucky with some climbs, like with Burden. I think the weather was pretty amazing when I was there. This definitely gives me more like memories of sort of Mutation. But the difference is it's like a long way away, whereas Mutation was, you know, just down the road, and it still was an absolute nightmare to get in good weather and conditions.
Yeah, okay. And with Excalibur, do you feel like with this project you changed up your working days versus rest days compared to Burden of Dreams? Like, what kind of regime were you operating on? Were you your classic kind of day on, day off? Or was it one day on, 2 days off, 2 days on, 1 day off? And how did skin factor in with that as well? Because I know there was a sort of sharpness to a lot of the holds.
Yeah. So, I mean, for both Burn and this, the 1 day on, 1 day off just doesn't work. I was trying it a bit on both of them, and I think it was good for like working sessions, but just, I don't know, the problem is you start to lose that sort of top two layers of skin or so, and then because it takes a while for that to grow back and it to be like hard that every session you go, because it's slightly too soft, you'll then just tear it super fast again. So yeah, I mean, by the end of the trip, like as I was saying, because it had rained as well before the last session, I took 5 rest days. I think before the sessions before that, I was taking like 2 rest days. So yeah, just multiple rest days kind of each time to try and like have the skin perfect for it.
Yeah,
and I think it does make a frustratingly big difference.
Yeah, that might actually surprise quite a few people, the amount of time that you actually spend resting, because loads of people, when they go on their project trips, I see people typically just hammering these things and just not resting enough. So their skin quality is going down, they're getting more and more tired. If the route's really bouldery powerful, they're essentially getting more and more fatigued and not recovering from what is almost like a strength bouldering session. It just gets worse and worse by the end of the trip, and they don't do it for that reason.
Yeah, no, I think it makes a big difference resting a lot. What I was really worried about, especially after this trip, because if I had like, it was like a month out there, and I was like, I'm really not climbing a lot. And I was like worried that coming back, I was like, am I gonna feel like really weak and be like, you know, having to like spend quite a bit of time getting back into it. But actually, literally my first session back, I had like an amazing board session. I was like, possibly the best board session I'd had. And then like every session from there on has been pretty amazing. Up until the last week, it's not been great, but I was like, I'll just tone it down a little. Yeah. But yeah, I was like, maybe like taking a lot of rest and having these like absolute limit sessions where I don't try a lot, but just as hard as I can, it's actually like quite a good like change in the training. I think it's been really good. And that's like, I think one of the concerns I have, and I know a lot of people have when they're on trips, like, oh no, but I'm going to fingerboard this morning before we go out as well to the crag, because I just want to like keep on top of stuff. But I think a lot of the time, if you trained hard before, you can kind of like dial it back and it won't make a difference like that.
Yeah,
coming back and feeling stronger was amazing.
That's the dream. Yeah. That is always the dream, because especially with like comp climbing, and you've got to train for that much more kind of like longer end endurance stuff, or doing things where you're doing 20 volts, 25 volts routes, you typically feel really, really fit, but just considerably weaker on this. Whereas, things like Excalibur are a very different kettle of fish in terms of route climbing.
Yeah, I feel like, especially in the sort of boulder side, if you're having like hard projecting trips, you can kind of come back and you feel quite, like for me, I feel like normally it's either as strong or like in that sort of same level, just because you're trying so hard. Whereas the roots is hard, because as you say, you come back super fit, but it's not like there's many gyms that even have roots that long to go train on, so you just have to get on shorter ones and you're like, oh, I don't actually feel that strong.
Are you gonna have another session back on the replica here again, or do you feel like you put your work in on that now and you kind of know the deal and you know what's going on, so you don't want to do any more than that?
I don't know, it depends. Like if it was if I don't get a chance to go back this winter and I have to wait till, you know, next December, then I'll get back on it near the end of the year, but I will change it.
Yeah,
because I need to change the start now, and I knew the pinch hold that we've got on isn't right, but I just couldn't find anything that felt similar or better. But we need to change it, because that, like that being the crux for me, I need to find a way of making that at least harder.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, not at the moment.
So we better not strip it off yet.
I mean, you can strip it off if you want to set up the stuff like that. I know where.
Like some cracks and stuff.
Yeah, I know where to put stuff, don't worry. I've got it pretty dialed now in my head.
This is the problem, you're too chill and relaxed when I say that. That was like totally a wind-up, and you're like, strip it off, it's fine.
I'll put it back at some point, it's all good.
I kind of wanted like a reaction out of you, going, no, do not do that to me. Everything is on this replica, I can't cope. I've got a number of questions that have come in from the Lattice fan base, the audience, that they wanted to specifically ask you about both Excalibur and also some stuff around Burden of Dreams as well, that a lot of people kind of followed along your journey with that and how it all panned out. And it's really great in many ways, because there's so much information out there and so sort of transparency over your personal journey with it. I think people have really got into it, so they've got some kind of quite specific and actually kind of some quite funny questions as well.
Awesome.
With some of these things. So I want to give a chance to everyone who gets involved with our social media to ask some of their questions back to you and get some answers on some of these, if you're ready for
them. Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah. So the first question that I had from someone who commented on our Instagram was, you're obviously a really strong climber, recognized as one of the strongest climbers in the world in terms of bouldering and route climbing, but what is your weakest strength?
My weakest strength?
Yeah, where are your weak points when it comes to strength?
Okay.
In your climbing, like if you had to do a boulder problem that, you know, high intensity boulder problem that would be a bit of a nightmare for you, where's your Achilles heel?
Okay, so is this like actual weakness or like out of my strength, the weakest strength?
I think the way I understood it was, where's your weakness in high intensity stuff? So not where's your weakness in power endurance or where's it in endurance?
So, I mean, like the obvious one that stands out is just basically getting on any of Aidan Roberts' board problems. Like,
so Aidan is your weakness?
No, it's not so much that, but the way he normally sets them is very like big spanned out shouldery moves.
Oh, which, and are we talking spanned this way, so compression style, or Gaston style with?
So I think in general, like the like more spanned out is worse, but if it's like compression, it's better.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's Gaston-y or even just like flatter holds, but sort of like big dynamic moves, I think, when like really spanned, is probably my weakness. Like between that and especially if they were like pinchy or slopey, I think the good news is outside there's not a huge amount of pinching or sloping. It's normally got like an edge to some extent, which helps a lot. But I think I could imagine like out the hard boulders, like, or I guess the 9A boulders around the world, I would imagine Big Island Set would be my like the hardest one, just because the holds are a lot more slopey and it's way more like just spanned and compressy.
Yeah, okay. And an additional little question from me to bolt onto that is, I've seen you improve a lot on this wider, spanned out, shouldery style moves over the years. What do you feel has been the biggest contributory factor into that improving over time? Because again, I think people watching and listening will go, I'm the same. I hate that style of move. I really struggle. So they want to know, what did Will do, more or less, that you felt like made some change on that?
I mean, I still think it's my weakness. So,
but you're a lot better than you were. Yeah, I think massively.
I think one of the main things is actually just focusing on trying boulders like that. Mm. So what I've been doing quite recently, one of the things which I've been focusing on my body tension, is really, really like actively thinking and focusing about driving through my feet on like the easier boulders I do in sessions on like a board, so that I can like keep the foot on moves where it'd be easier to cut loose. And I think it's similar when it's like you've got the big shoulder moves. There might be an easier way to do it if you're like in a training session, but it's worth just thinking, actually, I should just try it the harder way, maybe flick to it. And I think just actively like focusing on trying the sort of weaknesses in your sessions, rather than just like going, like if you go around a center and you like just go around a circuit of colors or whatever, you can climb them quite often. You can find ways to climb them in your style. Whereas I think it's like actively thinking about actually climbing them just in a completely different way and just spending time on that. I know it sounds, I guess, quite simple in a way, but
some stuff is simple though.
But yeah, there's not been like any specific exercise that I've done that's made a difference, other than just really focusing on trying that style.
Okay, that perfectly leads into the next question, actually, is how do you work on body tension when it comes to steep climbing? Like, what do you do for this?
Basically, yeah, exactly what I said. So main thing is just actively focusing on driving through the feet. Mm-hmm. Especially like, for instance, my, like, standard session I do at school room. So I do, like, a bit of, like, warming up on the fingers and maybe one or two climbs. And then I'll get on the steep board, which is a 50. And I do 4 warm-up boulders, which, admittedly, like, I'm already warmed up. So that it's, like, you know, like, not real warm-up boulders, but to get into it, because they're all 80s.
Yeah. Ramp-up boulders.
Yeah. But all of them except one of them are easier to do with your, like, with cutting loose on quite a few of the moves. But I've really focused, like, on these ones that I'm using currently to just drive really hard through the feet, and it makes them quite a bit harder, but it's just focusing on keeping the feet on. And then when I get into the harder ones, if I'm repeating any that I've done before of, like, the AP grade range, then, like, if they're ones that are, like, I've repeated a few times, they feel not that bad, I focus again on trying to drive the feet. And it's just, like, as soon as you're slightly comfortable in the hands, so you're not thinking you're just about to fall off, it's like focus about doing that extra step, which isn't needed, but I think makes a difference. I don't do any sort of specific training otherwise. I did, like, I remember last year I got a little bit into doing, like, calf raises, like, just body weight ones, but I don't know.
It's very non-specific, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't really do them anymore either. I find, like, just on the wall is, like, the most important for body tension. Mm. Like, to an extent, like, there's obviously you need to have, like, the base of core and calf muscles, but I very rarely did the core sessions I think you gave me in my programs, because I don't like core. it hurts so bad.
Yeah.
I remember joining, like, Sean O'Coxey for one of our core sessions in Germany once, and literally the next day I couldn't stand up straight. I had to walk around hunched. It was like I just couldn't actually straighten. It was horrendous. Yeah, so I think, like, having it very active whilst you're climbing and focusing on that.
Yeah. I think also an important note to point for you, Will, and I think, like, a nuance around some of this only on the wall work mm-hmm. that you do nowadays is to remember that for some people with their climbing is that they've got to remember that you are, like, at the tip of the iceberg of all the years of work that you put in as a climber, like training from a pretty young junior and just, you know, years and years worth of training work now. So there's a lot of groundwork that's been done. So you can put a lot more focus into that on wall work, because there are a load of basics that have been covered as well. I always want to make sure that people understand that there's a lot of basic work you also did over the years.
We were literally talking about this earlier on it's a YouTube clip maybe that's mm-hmm. coming out.
Yeah.
And because, like, now the majority of training I do is on the board, and that's, like, you know, for finger strength, for everything. But, like, the base that like, now that I can do that, it comes from the, 8 years of hard fingerboarding that I did, I guess. Like,
yeah.
So I was like, yeah, probably the most important thing for me was fingerboarding. Whereas even though, like, now it's not really what I do so much.
Yeah, yeah. You go through these, graded approaches, the right tool, the right time, and for the right amount of time that you do it, and then you sort of transition through those things. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Next question is, what is the mental process? Or someone was asking this. What is the mental process for you in terms of walking away for a project? What do you do in this situation? Like, what did you do in the afternoon or the evening of that last day?
You take your shoes off and chuck them down the hill. No.
I mean, that could be the answer. And everyone's going, this is what I need to do. No. I just throw my shoes like Will Bosey.
No. Because then you have to go find them. And it's like, it's difficult. Like, I think to begin with, when you, like, have the last session and you know you're not going to do it, like, I really struggle. Like, I'll be, like, really sort of, like, for probably, like, half an hour or so, like, be pretty down and frustrated. But it's kind of then you have to, like, what we were talking about earlier, reflect on all the positives. Mm-hmm. And especially, like, the majority of climbs, like, there are times where a hold will break or something happens, but the majority of time it is a rock that's out there that's not going anywhere. So you can think, well, I'm always going to be able to come back at some point. So I've had all these positives, I've got closer, I know I can do it, I go away, I can train, I can come back even stronger. So it's kind of just focusing on the future rather than thinking about the actual present of not sending it.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, that's... And that's good to be able to
Yeah.
Say to people that you have a sort of a clear defined process with it. And
yeah, I mean, on that note, actually, it's reminded me, because like from the comp claiming, that was always the way of looking at it as well. There's another World Cup. So, oh, I didn't make finals, I didn't make semis, or it's okay because there's another one. There's always another one. And that was the thing that I struggled the most with, was with the Tokyo Olympics when I missed the qualification in Toulouse, because it was like, oh, there isn't another one. This was the only one. Mm. And we'll probably never have that format again. And that was really hard. That one I didn't deal with very well. But yeah, that's the thing, at least for the majority of comp climbing and for outdoor climbing in general, there's always going to be another chance to go back.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, next question is, how do you feel about the grade that Stefano proposed? You put a fair bit of work in. You've been really specific about your preparation to it. It wasn't just a quick four sessions, yeah. And oh, no, I didn't quite get it. Does it feel about right for you? Does it stand for you? Is there a... Yeah, where are you at with that?
So, yeah, he gave a 90 plus, which is, what, 515C, I guess, if you use that grading system. And, yeah, first couple sessions, I was like, yeah, feels about right. And then coming back, like, that was the 2022, and then coming back 2023, first couple sessions, I was like, and finding the new beta, and on a couple of moves, I was like, oh, this doesn't, I don't know, the progress coming together so fast. I was like, I'm making good links. Maybe it's not, maybe it's only 9B. But then actually, I don't know, the last couple moves, that last, from like when you clip the last draw, where I was like falling at a high point, just really like ramps up from the start. And it's weird to explain, like you can pull on even two moves into the climb. I think the first two moves are like the hardest to do. If you pull on just after those, it feels a lot different. And I think because of like, just weirdly, it just comes together in a way that you don't expect. So I think he is like actually spot on with it. I think it probably is a 90 plus, and I think quite possibly a hard one, because originally, because it's not quite as my style, I was like, oh, you know, it's not that much harder than King Capella, and I was like, you know, in the end that settled around that sort of hard 9B. So it's like, is it different? But I think it is a level up.
Yeah, okay. And a question that we had quite a few of, and I know even in the office at Lattice amongst the staff, people are really interested in what, and you're thinking, what on earth
is this? Yeah, what's this gonna be?
Is this like what type of oat cake do I really like?
Yeah, yeah.
Now the question that lots of people are really interested in is, what are your plans for 2024? Because you've kind of been on a bit of a rampage over time now, and you keep just going like another hard project. So you must have some exciting things in 2024 roughly penciled in.
Yeah, very penciled in, not all of it, but actually in, what day is it now, yeah, in 4 days on Sunday, mm-hmm. I'm starting my trip out to Vegas. Out to the USA and go and try Sleepwalker. So I've booked a long trip. It's I think almost 2 months. So yeah, just going out basically to absolutely siege Sleepwalker. And I mean, I obviously try the stand start first, and then if I do that, then work on Daniel Sit Start, which is one of the sort of 5-9A boulders. So that's the main goal, I guess, of the start of the year. And then
yeah, and it's nice to hear that you are getting around to doing that, because I know when me, you and Aidan sat down, mm-hmm. and did a podcast actually out there underneath where the replica is, we talked about that back then, of would this be something on your radar? And it was.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like probably one of the best looking hard boulders. So I don't know if it's really going to be my style. I'm actually not sure about that. It's very hard to tell how it's going to climb from the videos, even with close-ups of the holds and people describing it. But it looks amazing. And yeah, I've never climbed outside anywhere in America. So I'm very excited to go and sort of experience it. And yeah, I can't wait. And then I suppose for the rest of the year, it's very open currently. If I come back from that trip and it's still cold enough in Arco, which I doubt, then I'd go back for Excalibur for like a 2 week trip in sort of mid to end of March. But realistically, I don't think that'll happen. So either it goes really well, I send Sleepwalker and then end up going back to try Megatron or something in April. But
yeah,
I feel like that's probably not going to happen. And the one thing I do really want to do, though, this year is I would really like to get to Flatanger and check out Silence.
Yeah.
Because I've never been to Flatanger, firstly, but also I just want to actually see how hard it is. It'd be really interesting to know. So.
Yeah, I think it's about time.
Yeah.
You get that. It's like a world-class destination, very hard climbing. Yeah. Loads of people go there to sort of like pitch themselves against these routes. And yeah, I mean, it must be super appealing to go and do that.
Yeah, so I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, a little bit longer, those routes, though.
It is, but to be fair, I've had both Adam and Stefano saying that because it's got the knee bar rest, it is more like doing boulder problems and then rest, so it should be better for me. So the other routes that are like proper endurance routes, I think I would get absolutely shut down on.
Yeah,
I think something like Project Big, which would not be the one for me.
Yeah, or no long AC on sites.
No.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe some short
I'd love to do an AC on site. That's a good goal for the future.
But, maybe just not the long one right now.
Yeah, probably one that you can like see every hold up to about 3 meters where the chain is. Yeah.
Do you think that Adam Ondra will climb 9A Boulder first, or will you climb 9C route first?
I
saw this question and we're like, great question.
That is a great question.
Pitch him head to head.
I'm pretty sure if he wanted to, he could climb 9A Boulder.
Okay.
If
you wanted to, could you climb 9C route?
The problem is finding one, because if it was to be in my style, I'd have to first ascent it.
Yeah.
Like, which is a big problem because I don't think I would have the experience to grade at that level. Looking at what there is currently, Silence is probably the most in my style, which is a worry. And without trying it, I've got no idea.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to think it's possible. But I think it would be like a multi-year project is how I probably see it currently. Whereas Adam, I'm sure if he was, I suppose, I'm trying to think of what would be the best one for him. But like, I mean, Terra Nova's absolutely desperate. Like, it potentially could be. I think the grading at that sort of top end of Boulder needs still a lot of work, and it's just going to take time for everything to come together. But I don't see why he wouldn't be able to. Like, he is flipping amazingly strong. So, yeah, I think if he dedicated to bouldering, he would do one pretty soon.
At least with Silence, you have some crack knowledge.
Yeah, I was thinking that was coming.
I'm kind of backing you a little bit on this front. In terms of refinement, you're in a better place compared to Stefano.
Yeah.
For example, with the crack stuff. So it'll be interesting to see if you have any bits on that where you go, oh yeah, this feels like a little bit more within my skill set.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, because I think the hardest moves of it are like the setup into the crack. But they're like, I think, quite crimpy. So yeah. I'm hoping that I'd be able to do them. And then I'm hoping my crack climbing would be kind of good enough to like get through it.
Well, I'll be proud if you're up there jamming, putting your jammy gloves on and everything.
Did you see me at the Sportiva Legends comp out?
I certainly did.
In Stockholm, it was great.
Yeah, I was getting sent screenshots of it and I was thinking, yeah, this is going to work out well for Will,
yeah,
for sure. And then watching some of the other beasts that are just obviously such amazing climbers and having a really hard time, you realise how much of these things is basic technique.
Yeah, definitely after all the sort of sessions we've had, it makes a big difference.
This one is sort of an amalgamation of two questions. It's one question, plus, and then I'm going to move on to some Burden Dream stuff, but it's one question and then one variation on a comment that was made by Alex Magos on your Instagram. Now, and you might know where I'm going to go with this. So Alex made the statement of you climbing on one of the hardest / crux moves on Excalibur and chalking up on this move and being like super static with it, and stated, "This is one of the most impressive things I have ever seen. Everyone who's tried this move will know." So Alex came out and just made this big booming statement, which is great. I'm sure you read it and went, cool, thanks. And at the same time, we also got a question of, do you feel like a god amongst men?
Definitely not.
When you chalked up on this crux?
Definitely not. I mean, so yeah, the move that's talking about is where I was saying I've kind of been like getting the high point and struggling from the weird like secret crimp and the pinch. You go to this two finger pocket and you get a really high heel on this. It's probably slightly smaller than the sort of standard fingerboard 20 mil edge, I guess, maybe like a 15 mil edge. So you put a heel on that and you come up to this other tiny crimp. And I posted this video where the tiny crimp, this was from the second trip, so the top part was wet, so that was as high as you could climb. So the tiny crimp was wet. So the most I could do was pull up into the position and then take this hand off. And then I realized that I could actually just hang there and I'd like statically just holding the position. So like I chalked up in the video. But I don't know, it's a weird one where I think that move is very specific to different people. So okay. I know like Adam, Jakob, Stefano all struggled quite a fair bit on it. Whereas like for me, Sean, I think he Aiden on his session as well, like it's not, it doesn't feel that bad. So I think it's quite, if it fits your body and if you're like heel hooking a lot, I think it changes. So for me, that move's not that much of a crux. Mm. Whereas I think for others, it's a bit more. For me, like the move's under or harder, I think. I don't know. I think it's also like shoe dependent and there's like a lot of different bits to it.
Yeah, okay. So there's nuance to this and it isn't the world's most impressive feats of strength we've
ever seen. No, I don't think
so. You don't rate that for yourself in that way?
Like, I'm still, because the year before when I first tried it, that move was really hard, but I could still, like, from the first go I did, not first go, but from the first go on the route, sorry, I did that move. So, like, I could do the move straight away and it, but it was a big step up being able to actually just feel very confident and chill and be able to take the hand off. But I think that's just been training the replica. I don't think it's like, it's not a sort of next level. Like when you see someone holding like 50 kg on the fingerboard or something ridiculous, that's probably way more impressive, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, they're different. The horses, of course, are different things, aren't they?
I like high heels.
Yeah. Okay, some questions in regards to Burden of Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're thinking, oh, I thought it was over with Burden. I thought we moved on a little bit. But people love hearing about your experiences with it. And it's obviously had a lot of media attention around it. Loads of people tried it. Also a little bit like Excalibur. And we had a few questions specifically on Burden, if you don't mind having
Go for
as
it.
Much like. So first one was, did you try the Lorenzi beta? The alternative way away from the sort of sequence that you use on the route and what you do with it.
Yeah, so he used, you do the first move and then for the second move, instead of doing the match in and then coming up right hand, you go to another crimp and then come over left hand. And it uses this really sort of deep, tight drop knee. And we did look at that beta, but I don't know if I tried it off his specific foot maybe, but I could never find a way of like getting the right foot out. So, because for me, the what ended up being the sort of crux was actually like doing the first move in the like well enough that I could do the second move that sort of match like well, because I found the foot would slip. So that way probably would have been a lot better for me than the like Simon's way. But I don't know. I don't know if we spent enough time maybe, or because I definitely tried it. But when we tried it, like it, we just kind of wrote it off. It just didn't feel like it would work at all. So it's. Yeah, when he said he was trying it on his Instagram, I was like, I can't, like, and he said it was working. I was like, whoa. Like, I was like, I got so excited. I was like, just waiting for a video. Like, every time he posted it, I was like, oh, there's no video. Like, I really wanted to see it because, for me, it didn't work. But he has his foot in a very different place. So I wonder if I tried that would be better.
Did you go on every post that he did afterwards and just write video when?
Yeah, pretty much. No.
Video drop when?
Yeah, send footage when.
Oh, I did laugh at that. Another really good question is, did you go and check out the Sisu project?
Well, unfortunately not. And I was really sad. So the plan was, so I sent Burden oh, no, I think it was maybe, I can't actually remember the day, but I sent Burden one day, and then the next day we went back and did a lot of refilming. So we took tons of like film of different moves, and it was like a absolutely savage session. I don't know, I felt really good. Because after it, the night I did Burden, I also, later I got back on and we took photos, which are the ones that were posted. And I like repeated the first move a bunch of times and most of the other moves quite a few times. And then going back and refilming, and I did the same. I repeated like multiple links up sections. Like I was feeling really, really strong and good on it.
Yeah.
But it was like a really big session. And I think having both of them like back to back, when I woke up the next day, which was the day we were going to drive and check out the Sisu project, I'd like pulled something on my shoulder and neck and I like couldn't turn my head at all. And it was so painful. And the thought of driving for like 2 hours each way to check it out, I couldn't do it. I drove to a pharmacy and got painkillers and then flew home the day after. So ran out of time, unfortunately. I'd like to go back and look at it because it looks amazing, but yeah, unfortunately it didn't. I don't know. I pushed it too hard, I think.
Yeah. Sometimes these things happen, but yeah, you did the sensible thing and realized that the project's not going anywhere.
So no, exactly.
And you weren't going to go and get it ticked that trip, so doesn't always have time to get it.
Finland's incredible, so if there's next reason to go back, then it's pretty good.
Yeah. And last question is, who, or this is a if, or a when, do you think there will be an ascent of the indoor Burden replica?
Ooh. Well,
will anyone be bothered enough?
The
Is
one
it too
here,
hard?
The one in here, or in general?
I think in general,
because there's obviously the holds are all replicated, but the feet aren't, and that's a big one. It makes a huge difference what feet you have on it for the start, especially the first move and for the second move. So I guess that makes it hard to regulate. But I'd be surprised if anyone actually sends it. I think if you send the indoor one, as long as the weather and skin allows, you've got. Like you're at least strong enough to do the outdoor one. So I feel like by the point anyone's got to feeling really strong and like they could send the indoor one, they probably should just go to Finland and try the real one.
Yeah, okay. So I suppose I'm personally interested in, are there, because I get the same thing on my own social media, people that are into my kind of thing, which is all the crackline stuff. I kind of know who they are and people send me DMs kind of sharing training videos and replicas of things that they've tried out. Are there anyone in your DMs as such, or in your kind of network of dark horses in international bouldering that you know are training on the same replica, because they obviously share that commonality with you, that you're like, oh, I know so-and-so over in Brazil and they're a total beast and probably they're going to do the indoor version, or that we just don't know about? I guess that's the question I'm asking.
I mean, I know there's a lot of people that are trying the Burden replica. There's a lot of people that have it now.
Right, anyone stand out in particular?
I don't know. In general, like, I've not spoke to them about it, really. Like, I know they have it, or I know they train a lot, and they might have posted, like, one video or story or something on Instagram. But not that many people have posted a lot about it of the people I know that have it, I guess. Okay. And I don't know if anyone's, like, actually close to sending an indoor one.
Yeah. It is a funny world, isn't it? Where here we are discussing in 2024 whether someone's going to climb an indoor version of one of the world's hardest outdoor problems.
Yeah, I think
it's a little dystopian, maybe.
Yeah, but that's one of the things with Burden. One of the aspects that makes it so hard is the fact that the weather and how bad it is on the skin is really difficult. So I think like you could potentially get strong enough to do the indoor one, but you could go there and then the trip just doesn't allow you to actually send it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the outdoors has its own problems, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Will, it's been a pleasure chatting again on the podcast, and hopefully for everyone who's been watching on both YouTube and listening on the podcast, they've enjoyed this one where we've done a good dive right into all the details of the projecting. And everything like that. And yeah, I definitely want to say a thank you from my perspective and everyone here at Lattice as well. We've really enjoyed your sharing of every stage of the journey and being like really into that, because it's so much fun for us to kind of watch that happen because it's just really real. It allows you to kind of follow your journey when we're stuck back in the UK and the weather's rubbish and we're just training, and it's very motivating. So
thank you.
Yeah, definitely thank you, and continue doing that because we've really enjoyed it.
I will do, and yeah, thanks for having me on. And yeah, for Sleepwalker, I'll definitely keep that going. I'm going to keep the broadcast channel going and trying to post, you know, little video updates most every session is the plan. And I have no idea what the signal's like in Red Rocks, but you never know. Might get a live stream going again.
Oh, you said that. I really hope that everyone's listened all the way to the end of this. Hang on. Live stream coming. When?
I mean, I think it's kind of fun to live stream flash attempts on boulders, I think. It's just a random thing to do because the chance of sending is very low, but it's kind of entertaining to see. There's a thing. I like posting it myself. Because I know that I'd be the same about following other people. Like Simon, when there were the five of them out at Burden, I was just everyone that I was messaging them, I was like, how'd it go today? Like following everything on Instagram, seeing if there's any updates. I get so into it. So yeah, I enjoy posting about what I do as well.
Oh, good, good. Well, we will be watching and we will be resharing your content and letting everyone sort of see into that. So yeah, good luck for that trip and hope it goes
well. Thank you.